So my house, right, was both, well, it, the whole place, it was kind of not that close to the volcano, but close enough to the hills. And at different times when we moved, it was close to the, a bit closer to the hills, because I guess that's where people prefer to live. I like the skirt of the big volcano. I do know that, well, that's where the sound of the of fighting would come from. Like, the closer to the hills you are, you always heard that. Well, the trees, people were hiding in there, I guess, and it seemed where things would happen at night. The electricity went off on our side of the city during the war at nighttime. So it went off at intervals. The water would go on and the electricity would go off because of the limited resources. So, and it was the other, it was otherwise to the other side of town. But sometimes that light would go off anyway, because some tower had been blown up. So just imagine this atmosphere. It's dark. It's dark. And you hear this sort of rumble of bombs in the background. It sounds like residual bass, that bomb sound.
So the thing that people forget when they talk about noise is that noise is not a fixed thing. Noise is not always recognizable. It's always changing, and what it is, what it means, and what it does is always coming from a specific place and time, and is reliant on whoever it is that is hearing it or sensing it. The differences between sound and noise and music are aesthetic and emotional ones. When you know what is making the sound, it's easier to know how to define it. Acousmatic sound, where you can't see the sound source, muddles the definition because it becomes impossible to know what is making the sound. So it's harder to piece together the context. Like the residual base of a volcano, a bomb, or a sound system. We can choose to dissect the auditory fabric of noise into the threads of its many parts. We do this to survive, to make what is horrific palpable. But also, a heightened state of horror cannot be sustained. Everything can become incidental, and noise blurs the incidental with the exceptional.
It becomes indistinguishable to the sound, really, on the same level of distance and safety as bombs in the background, you know? And you just get used to it. And if you're feeling safe at home, you're just lying there listening to the thing. It's when the sounds get closer that you start to distinguish the differences and your difference. But there's something about the sound of a party happening behind your house that's comforting. People are having a really good time. And if it's low enough, if it's bassy enough, it's like a lullaby. It's when it gets closer that's terrifying, that's the sound of a bomb. Because it's already terrifying anyway, but you just become, what's that thing where you become immune to it and you get so used to it?
The affectivity of bass is not heard in its loudness, but in the shifts and changes between frequencies that change the states and stakes of its reception. Noise bends the air with and without audibility. All that differentiates threat from comfort in this bass that moves unseen and unknown through the air is distance and proximity. The closeness of music, the distance of the bombs. The closeness of gathering and voices, the distance of the volcano where war hides and lava rumbles deep below. In the interplay of sound waves moving through time and space, distance and proximity become interchangeable when your body can't tell what to make of something. And all that uncertainty catalyzes imagination. You come to ask, whose voices haunt the lingering reverberations? Who is brought to you upon these waves? In this noise, time and space expands and contracts, and the stranger is made familiar.
You imagine like something like a volcano breathing, because it's in your interest to find comfort in something that's so potentially threatening. And so you give it a sense of not humanity, but you acknowledge its life, its living. Like bombs, you know, you become so used to it that you don't no longer, it no longer feels. You know that something bad is happening elsewhere, and it's scary, but it becomes atmospheric. It becomes like something about humans and being able to get used to those threatening things. As it's okay if it's happening, if you hear it like that, because it's happening elsewhere and you don't need to run for your life yet, you know?
The atmospheres created by the indistinction of noise, which happens here where sounds and voices come together on a level of vibration, the vibration of bass, a felt on the skin, in the stomach, the windows that shudder and the floor that shakes. The bass of bombs, of a sound system, of a volcano, or maybe just an earthquake. This trembling, is it something in your ears? Or do you hear it in your cells? Do you taste it in the humidity dripping off the trees? The bass blurs the faces of people that walk past, making it hard to hold on to a look. Maybe it is a sound. Maybe it's another kind of sensing as well. In its unrecognizability, noise overflows with infinite possibilities. It disrupts a story about bad or good, human and non-human. It asks us to attend to complexity, to not knowing. You never know who or what this tremor carries to you as it crosses your room. There is something that always escapes definition when you have to ask, what is it that I'm hearing? And your only answer is never better than a guess. Noise runs interference. It pushes us to grasp for stories to make meaning, to find and fix categories. In the ambiguity of noise, we might come to reckon with the volatility of existence. Untellable histories hum in the background, the foreground, voices held and hidden within these everyday sounds.
It's living with the volatility of the earth, and it's living with the volatility of humans. And sometimes that volatility is not volatility, it's like celebration, you know? And it sounds so exotic, but it's actually people's lives that they live every day. And you just grow to understand the world you're living through its sounds.